കൃഷ്ണ ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരന്തസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജന ശലാഖായ ചാക്ഷുരുമീലിതം ജേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ. മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം ഭംഗോ ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യത്കൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ ശ്രീഗുരും ദീനധാരിണം. വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീജുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരുന് വൈഷ്ണവംശ്ച ശ്രീരുപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണ രഗണ താങ് വിതാങ് താങ് സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പുരീജന സഹിതം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാ കൃഷ്ണപാദാൻ സഹഗണ ലളിത ശ്രീവിശാഖാൻവിതാംശ്ച ആനന്ദലീലമായ വിഗ്രഹായ ഹിമാവദിവ്യശ്ച വിസുന്ദരായ തസ്മൈ മഹാപ്രേമരസപ്രദായ ചൈതന്യചന്ദ്രായ നമോ നമസ്തേ. യെസ്
മഹാരാജ്, വി ഹാവ് എ ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ. ഐ ഹാവ് എ മൈക്ക്. From Ajita Krishna Prabhu, he's quoting Upadeshvali of Srila Saraswati Thakur, verse 9. Serving the Vrajavasis who felt great separation from Krishna when he left Vraja to reside in Mathura is our supreme constitutional occupation. Mm-hmm. So his question is, could Maharaja be so kind to explain further this verse or give some comments?
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sometimes says something that on the surface seems so simple and direct, but is so profound. I remember once in Moscow reading some commentary of his on the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and just his parsing of one word, why it was plural and not singular. And I had to walk around the block for like a half an hour to think about it and wonder. So, and as we've heard, he spoke on that, those first three slokas perhaps for 3 months. As we find the greatest depth in the Vaishnavas, the substantial Vaishnavas, revealed in what, for the sake of this conversation, we can say are non-confidential slokas. It is the posers and the posers who rush to confidential slokas to entice the ignorant, infantile neophyte section. So really we'll find in them the greatest depth of feeling, expressed sometimes even indirectly, like Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Aho Bhakiyam Stanakalakutam Jigam Sayapaya Yadapyasadvi Lebhe Gatim Dat Uchitam Tatonyam Kamva Dayalum Sharanam Brajema. This sloka moved him in such a way as he could not contain his feelings, which were ecstatic feelings, ecstatic emotions. Like Gurudev had something called emotion or devotion. That means in a superficial sense. But when we're dealing with someone like Pundarik Vidyaniti, whom Mahaprabhu called Premaniti, then we're talking about ecstatic emotions. Right? And just a very simple verse saying, if when Putana approached Krishna with murderous intentions, we know in the guise of a wet nurse, right? With the approval of Yashoda, Rohini, and Krishna not only sucked the, she had anointed her breast nipple with poison. Krishna sucked the poison, the milk, her pran, life air, everything. Sucked the life out of her. And she was elevated to datri, means like nurse, mother, like the equivalent of a mother position. So beyond liberation into the mother zone. Right? So he's making the point, or what's moving him, he's saying, if this is how Krishna treats those whom have approached him with murderous intentions, then we can't even begin to conceive how he would respond to those who approach him either neutrally or in servitude or in friendship or vatsalya, etc. That's the point. Each one, like on a Richter scale of magnitude, and right, so much greater. Right? Not just marginally greater. It's not that one is Madhura Rasa is marginally greater than Vatsalya Rasa. Like on a Rasic Richter scale, it's tremendously sweeter and more enhanced, and contains everything before it that preceded it. As earth contains ether, water, all these other elements are in earth, and it produces aroma. So, and the aroma implies all those things before it. So, that made Pundarik Vidyaniti come out. When Mukunda Dutt saw detected the apprehension on Gadadhar Pandit, he didn't say like, oh, let me say some very confidential sloka about Krishna and the Braja Gopis so he can understand who this man is. Why didn't he do that? That's not what he did. He quotes this verse, Aho Bhakiyam, and what's in the Kamba Dayalum Sharanam Brajam. Who is a more merciful Lord to take shelter of than Krishna? That's the verse that he sings. Because he's a substantial Vaishnava, he's real, he's not a poser. Has to rush to some superficially erotic thing about Krishna and the gopis to make people think, oh, he's got something. Like the posers, those dealing in counterfeit substance. And we know in this world, if you have counterfeit notes, it's not just people like, oh, well, you know. No, you're arrested. Right? Ignorance is no excuse. If you possess counterfeit notes, it's a criminal, punishable offense for dealing in counterfeit currency. Right? It's a serious thing. So if it's serious in this world, a punishable offense for dealing in counterfeit substance, then what to speak of in the spiritual world? How much more deplorable that is to deal in counterfeit substance, to cheat others. The fact that others accept counterfeit notes is not a wonderful thing. Right? is not a cause of celebration or joy. It's deplorable. Right? So what to speak of when applied on the spiritual side? So thematically, consistently, the key, if you want to say, to unlocking all of this divine sentiment, emotion, is separation. Right? As Srila Gurudev said, who could speak, you know, his double entendre, irony, whatever. I mean, he said it in very blunt terms once because he was a little upset. He said, even a goat understands the joy of union. That's what he said. I was like, bleh. That's what he said. Even a goat understands the joy. I remember seeing in Calcutta when they like herd these goats toward the slaughterhouse, and they, you can see they have the ones who were selected or indicated, they had a little red piece of paint on their neck. You know, like anyone painted, they were put into a group, and then there's a guy herding them toward the slaughterhouse. And I believe Prabhupada used this as an example. And, like, and as they're waiting to get slaughtered, right, they're waiting in line to get slaughtered. Right, one goat, a male goat, will mount a female goat. They're going to be slaughtered in like 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever. So he says, even a goat can understand the joy of union. He's saying, but who can understand that there is joy in separation? That is really a key to unlocking divine subject matter. And he quoted Srila Rupa Goswami's sloka where he says, Pida bir navakalakuta katuta garvasunivasuno nishandena, etc. Prema sundari nanda nandana puro. That he gives a very peculiar description saying, it's like suffering the effects of cobra venom while bathing in a nectarine shower. These two things simultaneously. And they're saying, if you want to understand really Krishna consciousness, you have to be able to hold these two things simultaneously in your core consciousness. Hemorrhaging as if you've been bitten by cobra, you're suffering the effects of cobra venom, and simultaneously being bathed in some incredibly sweet nectarine shower. So pain and joy at the same time, the most intense pain yielding the most intense joy. So Gurudev, again, very succinctly, he said, in a one sentence, he draws our focus. He said, what is Mahaprabhu's tasting matter? That's the sentence that he said. Right? We can say, as we will, and it's true, as we're approaching Gaur Purnima, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he descended for the Yuga Dharma. Yuga Dharma Palo Bande Jagat Priya Kuro Kornavataro. Vishwambaro Ivadvijaboro Yuga Dharma Palo Bande Jagat Priya Kuro Kornavataro. the beginning of the Chaitanya Bhagavat. These two brothers, and it's very beautiful how they've come and is delivering the Yuga Dharma, which is Krishna Nams, Nama Sankirtanam. Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranamo Dukha Samanas Tannamami Hari Priyam. The Bhagavatam concludes with this. Krishna Varnam Tisha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadam Yagye Sankirtana Prayi Yajanti Hi Sumedasa. The Sumedasa will get it. Others will not. Sumedasa, Guru Maharaj says, you know, refined theistic intellect, they'll understand the primacy of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are not peripheral. It's not, we thought so many, like there's Krishna consciousness, oh, and then Prabhupada added Gaura Nitai. Wow, it just gets better. Yeah. They're not peripheral, the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. They're central. They're primary. It is through them that one makes their approach. Krishna himself has descended. Radha Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya. This is their method of distributing Vrindavan, the Rasa Leela, Madhura Rasa, etc. It's not peripheral or optional. So, why did I say that before?
What is Mahaprabhu's tasting?
Oh, his tasting matter, yes. So, think of those words. He's not saying, well, why did Mahaprabhu? He said, what is his tasting matter? The taste in Bangla Sanskrit, ashva. Like, Sri Radhaya Mahima Kiddusho Banayeva. Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kiddusho Banayeva. Svadhyo Yasya Yenad Bhutama. Asvadhyo, there it is, Svadhyo. One of the three reasons given for his descent, to experience the love, it says, Vanayeva, that she alone possesses. That's very interesting. You mean to say, like, you know, Nanda, Yashoda, they don't possess this type of love? Don't they love Krishna? Yes, they do. The cowherd boys, the gopis, they all love Krishna. What does that mean when it says that she alone possesses? That is described as Mahabhav. Mahabhav Swarupini Radha Thakurani. She's the Mahabhav Swarup. That means the highest type of Krishna Prem, its ultimate expression, highest quality and highest quantity. Right? Because Vrindavan, as Guru Maharaj said, it's that plane where substance and form are one. We generally argue in favor of substance over form. As Guru Maharaj said, if they're both, if it's seamless, that's great. If not, we lean towards substance. But he reminded us once, he said, but in Vrindavan, substance and form are one. Right? That's why the muktir hitvanyata rupam swarupena vibhastiti. And proper, liberation proper, the swarup, the form is the expression of the devotee, of the devotion. Right? As I mentioned elsewhere in the material world, that the body is the biological expression of the soul's delusion. Right? So the counterpart, if that's the word, What it means, the opposite. Anyway, the opposite of that would be that, well, what would be the expression of the soul's enlightened position? Swarup. As the mundane form is built upon exploiting tendencies, the spiritual form, the swarup, is comprised of dedicating tendencies. Right? All chinmoy, Vaikunthe or Prithivyadi Sakala chinmoy, the spiritual form, they're all comprised of dedicating tendencies, conglomeration of, so expressed, so all this devotion is expressed in a spiritual form. And even so far as the paraphernalia of that servitor, their clothing, their, if they have an instrument or something, it's part of their swarup. So, what is it that she possesses? It was saying that she alone possesses. That was already indicated. Well, it's, when is almost irrelevant in these things. But in Ramananda Samvad, because it's Madhya 8, but when did it? It doesn't matter. Its own authorial voice is the proof. So the shorthand, because it has to be shown to what degree is she superior. Like if it's, what does that say? The Taya Urbe or Madhya Radhika Sarvatai. Of the two, Radharani's better than Chandravali. Well, a little better, marginally better. So in Ramananda Samvad, Ramananda, who's Vishakha Sakhi, we should remember, quotes the Gita Govinda. As Guru Maharaj says, quality gives us relief from mathematics. It's a very beautiful saying. Quality gives us relief from mathematics. If I'd only known that in high school. When they go out and say, where is your, and say, quality gives us relief from mathematics. I don't mind it. So we find what Ramananda says in Ramananda Samvad, then we understand. It's not that she's marginally better than Chandravali or other gopis. So what did he say? Radha Madaya Hriday Tatyaja Braja Sundari. That descriptions vary from anywhere. That the Rasa Leela has millions of gopis, billions of gopis, or trillions of gopis. And remember, on the basis of what I just said, each one, their beautiful forms are the outcome of their dedicated devotional tendencies. So they look, they're all incredibly, inconceivably beautiful and unique. There are no two that are identical. Lakshmi Sahasra Satra Sambrahma Seva. So Krishna, he knows everything there is to know about enjoyment. But so it says here, and assembled from other places, that when Radharani, when we say, they say that Vishakha, who's also expert at singing and dancing, sing and dance. And everyone is wowed, as we can imagine. Can you imagine someone is Because we know in this world when they say like someone's like the best singer or the best dancer, but what if you actually are like the best singer or dancer in like all the three worlds? That's why Mukunda Dutt is so special. But anyway, so how can Vishakha Sakhi sing and dance? We can't imagine. But she does, and then that causes Lalita to come out and sing and dance. And let's just say that she surpasses Vishakha. Which there would be no argument. But then Radharani seeing this, thinking like, oh, I see, I'm like one of the gopis assembled here. Right. So as Guru Maharaj's deity is named Gandharva, and Saraswati Thakur's name is Gandharvika, means Radharani who's singing and dancing to enchant Krishna. So then Radharani sings and dances. And this surpasses everyone. Right? But in the midst of the joy and the celebration, she vanishes. She leaves in a huff at the equal treatment. And Krishna, this is how quality gives us relief from mathematics. In the presence of, let's say, a trillion gopis who are inconceivably beautiful, charming, sweet, etc., his feeling is that the overall experience has gone down. The taste of the rasa has decreased suddenly. And he's wondering, what is the cause for that? If there are a trillion minus one, then it shouldn't be so noticeable. But if that one is Radharani, and what's being told here, the whole experience goes down, then we can understand, and also on the basis of what Krishna does afterward, he leaves a trillion gopis to go search for one, her. So this is the way he's telling us that she has more qualifications than a trillion gopis combined. That's what we're being told. So it's not that she's marginally superior. One cancels a trillion. Right? So Krishna goes searching for her, and that aparam kasyapi prani janavindashu kutuki rasotstamam ridva madhuram madhuram upaboktam kamapiya rucham swam vavre iha dutim tariyam satchetanya devaskritir atitaram na kripayatu. In one of the Chaitanyastakams of Srila Rupa Goswami, saying that observing her, kutuki means curiosity. It awakened this curiosity in Krishna of what it is like to be her, to experience what she experiences. So, as Gurudev said, what is Mahaprabhu's tasting matter means, yes, he descended and delivered the Yuga Dharma. Bahiranga Sangekori Nam Sankirtan. Right. Antaranga Sangekori Rasa Ashvadam. But with a select group of his most confidential internal servitors, namely Ramananda and Srip Damodar, Rasa Ashvadam, he's tasting. But what is he tasting? This Krishna, we already said, he knows everything there is to know about enjoyment. Right? Again, Gurudev very simply saying, what is the difference between Narayan and Krishna? And Narayan, Vaikuntha, Narayan, one Lakshmi for one Narayan. We've seen the pictures. Rishi, you see one Lakshmi to one Narayan, Lakshmi and a Narayan, Lakshmi and Narayan, Lakshmi and Narayan. And that's a wonderful thing. And what does Brahma Sangita say? Lakshmi sahasrasatasam brahma sevyamanam govinda mari purusham tamaham bhajami. Hundreds of thousands, millions and trillions of Lakshmis for one Krishna. Only one Krishna. But trillions of them for this one Krishna. So it gives us a hint of his enjoying capacity. So has Rasa Raj Krishna, right? Who is the king of Rasa, right? Rasika Shekhar and all these different places indicated. Has he come to try and understand the joy of union? He's the king of that. That, so that's what he wants. He's come to this world. He wants to understand that. No. We're told that when after he searched for her and found her, that and then they're together and they go, and then Radharani saying, "Oh, from all the singing and dancing, I'm exhausted. You know, if you want to go any further, you have to carry me." So then Krishna's carrying Radharani, and then at one point he goes to sit her down. And when he places her down, her eyes are closed, she's thinking, I'm so fortunate. Krishna left a trillion gopis just to be with me. She understands math too. And she's thinking like that, how fortunate I am. And it's at that moment when she's feeling, perceiving what is concerned, her greatest fortune, that Krishna vanishes. So when she opens her eyes, there's no Krishna. Now, we have to say, when one of the disciples of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur presented this to him, he couldn't hear it even. This shows you the degree of his love for Radharani, his exclusive devotion. He refused to even consider this. The devotee, we could say innocently or whatever, brought up this subject. Saraswati Thakur said, why do you mention that? There's no devotion to be found there. Like dismissed. He couldn't even think about it. That's how finely tuned his heart is with, you know, Sri Bharsha Bhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabde Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Prabhave Dayani Namaha. Bharsha Bhanavi means Radharani. Bharsha Bhanavi Devi Daita, who's very dear to her. But Guru Maharaj, his thinking is Radharani is always in the superior position. See, Guru Maharaj has a particular ontological method. So in his heart, he knows this and believes this, that Radharani is always in the superior position. So if apparently that's not being if that is not apparent in these pastimes, there must be some other way of interpreting them where she is still seen in the primary position. That's where he starts. And then he is scanning Bhaktivinoda Thakur and other things, and what he finds is that, like the Rupa Goswami sloka, all these things are thematically and the Chinmoy threads connecting them. So Rupa Goswami says it awoken the curiosity in Krishna, seeing her. And the Radha Madaya Hriday Tatya, leaving all the Braja Sundaris to go search for her, etc. So he said he found in Bhaktivinoda Thakur that Krishna hid himself in a kunja. And from there he could see her. And he wanted to see, because he is already astonished by what she is exhibiting in union. But he thought, what is it like for her when she is separated from me? That I would like to see. And what he saw, that we can say from assembling various points of view and references, was when he, and that tree, Imli Tal, where he decided to descend as Mahaprabhu. And what is that going to be the tasting matter? What she experiences in separation, that he wants to experience. What he sees happens to her in separation from him. The Asta Sattvika Vikar, these different eight types of ecstasy, simultaneously present to like an infinite degree, that he wants to experience. So when he comes there, when Gurudev said, what is his tasting matter? His tasting matter is separation. As Gurudev says as well, you know, hunger makes eating all the more enjoyable, right? There's even a common expression, hunger is the best spice, right? So, that is his tasting matter. Govinda virahena, viraha, Govinda viraha, separation from Krishna. Why? Because the force of affection upon the heart, that's placed upon the heart in separation, squeezes out a superior, the most superior type of Krishna prema, superior substance. And that's what he is plunging the depths of 24 hours a day. For the last 12 years of his pastime, behind closed doors was Srup Damodar and Ramananda. Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita. Those sentiments. And how inconceivably wonderful it is that for neophytes, we are told we should engage in the culture of separation, that is more beneficial for us and not dangerous as cultivating smaranam about union, milan, those pastimes, where we are likely to impose human limitations upon that which is divine, and thereby injure, damage our devotional creeper. So I like to say that in the Gopi Gita, the sloka, tavakatam ritam tapta jivinam kavibir iditam kamasa apaham sravanamangalam srimadatatam bhuvi grinantite buridajana, that the Braja gopis here they're saying what is the cure for their suffering in it. What does their suffering condition do to separation from Krishna? Right? And so, because when he left in search of Radharani, they were plunged in the depths of separation. And that's where many of these slokas come out. Later, she had to join them. And Vishwanath says, if you think, like, Krishna could appear to be cruel to do this to the devotees all the time. Like, they love him so much beyond what we can imagine. And then he's willfully separating himself from them. You think, like, why would he do that? And Vishwanath offers the example that, saying, because if it were to play it where it lies, then it would be a particular level of rasa or prema. Saying, but Krishna knows, if he separates himself, the fire of separation ignited in the hearts of the Brajagopis will be so intense that when he reappears, the type of rasa lila they have will be blazing. So there's a method to the madness, as Shakespeare says. So, and you say, why would Krishna do it? Because he's addicted to that particular type of prema, which only comes out under the intense pressure of separation upon affection. That's when it's squeezed out, so to speak. So much addicted to that, that through the agency of Yoga Maya is creating situations that will ensure that that substance is generated. Right? And that happens to be separation. But in that verse, tava katam, so they're saying, the talks about you, tava katam ritam, are nectar. Tava katam ritam, tapta jivanam, life-giving nectar. We're on the verge of death. Then we talk about you, and we're revived. We're as if resurrected from the dead. Tavagatamritam tabdajivanam kavibir idim. And this relieves from all suffering. Sravanam mangalam. Hearing about you is all auspicious. And I'm going to get to the point in a minute. Shravanamangam, Srimadatatam, and gives the inconceivable wealth. Bhuvi grananti te buridajana. This is the greatest thing you can do for anyone in this world. This is what they say. And I find it peculiar that it is a parallel to our situation, that we are also suffering on account of separation from Krishna. Right? They're suffering on account of separation from Krishna. If you had to distinguish one from the other in the most general way, you would say, well, their separation from Krishna is marked by remembrance, non-stop, continuous remembrance. Whereas our separation from Krishna is marked by forgetfulness. And that's, therefore, we don't even understand the cause of our suffering. Bhayam dityad binibeshi tatsyat ishadapetasi pariyo smriti. That's it. Forgetfulness of Krishna. to mention. So there, and as we come in connection with the Krishna consciousness movement, we may sometimes lament like, oh, why don't I think more of Krishna? how infrequently I think of Krishna. And the Braja Gopis, they lament that they're obsessed with Krishna and they can't stop thinking about Krishna for a moment. They're thinking that might be their problem. They can't stop thinking about him, talking about him, remembering him, reenacting his pastimes, anything and everything in relation to Krishna. And in fact, in separation, like in photography and portraiture, you can focus on a subject and blur everything else. Right? That's very popular right now. Right? So you focus on the subject and everything else is bokeh or blurred. That's tantamount to union with Krishna. In union with Krishna, he alone is the focal point and everything else is blurred, you can say. But we know if we follow this photographic example, there's something else called infinite depth of field. And when you have infinite depth of field, everything is in focus, right? Not just the subject and then everything else is blurred. Every infinite depth of field brings everything into focus. So in union is tantamount to that. There's Krishna, exclusive focus, everything else blurred, soft focus at best. Right? In separation, they achieve infinite depth of field, meaning that everything is a source of remembrance of Krishna. Nothing, as we're in the opposite, like where everything makes us forget Krishna, just about. Right? Every last thing makes us forget Krishna. They're in a situation where everything is a reminder of Krishna. That is their Maha Bhagavata like vision. Right? Like we were talking the other day about the auspicious signs and inauspicious signs when traveling. Right? And I'm not going to go into them in any detail right now because then everybody will be scared. Or be like obsessed with like searching for them. But we learned them when we first went to India. It's like, it's one of these things. It's like part of not just Indian culture, but like Gaudiya. There's some stuff that's like off the books, off the record. And Prabhupada, he followed it. Guru Maharaj followed it. And Prabhupada once said, "You may not believe, but we believe." And the only adjustment I ever found was Gurudev saying, like, there may be some things that apply in India that don't apply outside of India. But anyway, so they look for these signs in the environment to see, like, travel is auspicious. Auspicious indicators that now is a good time, you know, you're traveling, you see the auspicious signs. But then there are inauspicious signs. You're like, whoa. But what I find interesting, and that'll be mentioned there, and this is something that thematically repeats, actually. There are, like, Leelic descriptions of things, Puranic descriptions of things, and the original. Right. So, in this case, the original is Srimati Radharani. She's scanning the environment and she's looking for, as I said, Sulakshana means auspicious, signs or indications, that she's looking to see, is it favorable to meet Krishna? Am I seeing the signs that indicate there will be meeting with Krishna? That's how she, what she's looking, how she's interpreting things. Or is there something that, oh, and see, and say she sees something that seems to indicate it's unfavorable for meeting. And that causes her heart to become sad or full of lamentation. That yields superior substance in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is very peculiar. You make progress in Krishna consciousness as you lament your lack of Krishna consciousness. It's not a never-ending celebration of achievement in that sense, but the awakening of, to the degree that you are not Krishna conscious, yields progress in Krishna consciousness. If we lament lost opportunities, it yields, it's a progressive position in Krishna consciousness. So, it's a very delicate subject matter, but, and almost inconceivable that the devotees of Vrindavan, that they have to experience separation from Krishna. And there's some very heart-rending descriptions of that. But Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, ever our savior when it comes to these kind of things, offers an almost like parallel universe type explanation. Because he says, when Akrura took Krishna out of Vrindavan, remember in Kurukshetra, Krishna tells the Brajagopis, he never leaves. You know, but, just to fast forward, but it's, when Akrura takes them out of Krishna out of Vrindavan, we're told like Nanda and Yashoda, they do not eat, for they're unable to eat, feed themselves. Their house is like full of cobwebs. They haven't bathed, they haven't changed their clothes. Some friends come and like forcefully, like when you feed someone soup or something, they like, just to like keep them alive. It's so horrific. It's beyond the imagination, the level of the consequences of the level of their separation. He mentions this when Uddhava comes to visit, because when Uddhava comes to visit, it seems like everything's wonderful. And he's saying, because these two things are running in parallel, like, this is how they really feel and what's going on. And they can put on a show that everything's okay also. Just like we do in this world. I say humorous things from time to time. That sometimes are not humorous to anyone else but me. But that's okay. But he's saying, so they run in parallel, so that Uddhava could see that like flowing rivers, dancing peacocks, everything looks great, but actually there's this other side that's just totally horrible and terrible, that would just break your heart to even, conceive, right? So, because as Mahaprabhu says in the sloka, na prema gandasti dharapi mehoro krundami sobhagya param prakashana. It's, and Guru Maharaj put it this way, saying, Krishna Prem is not a thing in this world. The others look at Krishna Prem Jambunada Hema. A Kaitava Krishna Prem Jambunada means there are legendary rivers of gold in the heavenly planets. So, you know, there's a description of the planet where there are trees that have elephant-sized mangoes that when they drop to the ground and they only have juice, the juice comes out and forms these rivers of gold. So, but what he's saying here is like saying, Krishna Prem, it's not a thing in this world, like those rivers, legendary rivers of gold in heaven. Maybe there, but not here. It doesn't exist here. Yet, that is what we are searching for. And Guru Maharaj put it this way, if, and this is the key to understanding, that if one actually has Krishna Prem, then it's impossible to tolerate separation. One will have to die. It's that, he said, heart-swallowing. That if you have it, any type of separation would cause death. So then the devotees will say, and the fact that I'm alive, that means I must not have it. That's their thinking. Here I am alive, that means I don't have Krishna Prem. Because if I had it, be separated for a moment, you would have to drop dead. You'd be unable to sustain your existence. So it's a very peculiar thing. We're told elsewhere. Why? Because the devotees know the 10th stage of separation is death. There's like stage 1, 2, 3, 4. The 10th stage is death. That means unable to, they just can't live another moment without, that means they've reached the most, and the zenith point, the most intense point. Why do they not die? Because they do everything for Krishna, and they know that would make Krishna sad. So they go on in this near death-like condition. I mean, it's not humorous, but it's amazing. And it's from that position, there's the maximum amount of pressure upon their love and affection. Then, is it? The Dami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mama. Then Krishna. Aham Agyana Jam Tama. Jnana-dipena-vasava, then he reveals himself to them. And then how much joy is flooded into their hearts of their bodies that were in like a death-like position, dehydrating without Krishna Prem. So Krishna likes this level of intensity, and so do we. Nobody goes to a movie where everything's just like happy, 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 beginning, middle, and end. Even Disney movies are not like that. They have an arc, like things are happy, then something goes wrong, right? And then everyone's crying, and then it's happy in the end. That every good thing is like that. The best love songs, what they call torch songs, where the person singing, it's as if they're going to die if they're not reunited with the lover. Just this happy, happy, happy all the time stuff. No one really wants that. They may say they want that, but only a child would say that. So the joy of reunion, when there's like, what is it? One of the examples given is saying, a mother is with her child. And then if she starts thinking like, maybe she sees a news report about someone's child was kidnapped. And she thinks, oh my God, what if that happened to my child? And pulls the child even closer. Right? At the thought of separation. So that is, I'm not making this up. It's in the Chaitanya Charitamritam, and for a reason, to tell us it's separation that yields the most superior type of Krishna consciousness. And so Saraswati Thakur, ever the expert, he's saying, our lives are only meaningful when we're serving those devotees who feel separation from Krishna. He just got right to the heart of the matter. It's interesting. And another place he may say, you know, we're Krishna-loving people. I like that, you know, and other things. But here, he's going right to the point. Who are we really? What is our life and aspiration in the service of? Those who feel intense separation from Krishna. How much so? Even at the thought of being separated from Krishna is too much for them. Could make them faint. Think about that. The thought of being separated from Krishna could make them lose consciousness. He's saying, those people, they have real love for Krishna. Not these posers or go around telling about the whatever. So it's like hidden in plain sight. The open secret, the key to understanding everything, is separation. So I like to say, those brothers and gopis saying, so what is the cure? Their separation is causing pain. Our separation is really at the base of why we're suffering in the material world. Because we're separated from Krishna, apparently. It's also, there's no, you know, consciousness, it's not like located in the spiritual world. It's not like on a map or something, right? It's all consciousness. So it's not like it's so many, you know, light years away. Metaphorically, but not actually. That's why when we hear about Krishna from his devotees, Vrindavan can awaken in our hearts. There's a famous verse, Narottam Thakur, that says, I hope I say it right, Jatai Vaishnavagan Vrindavan Vrindavanerastan, something like that. Yathai Vaishnavagan Vrindavana Stan. Same. Wherever the devotees are, that's where Vrindavan is. They can awaken Vrindavan in our hearts. And Vrindavan, Radha, Padman, Kitadam, Vrindavan, Jaranam, is the place embellished with the lotus footprints of Radharani. It means Radhadasyam, all these wonderful things. But so, the real test is, what does the heart produce in separation from Krishna? And that's the test now. Our unfortunate situation is, it doesn't bother us that we're separated from Krishna. That's a sad, pathetic thing. But in time, it will. And the gopis come with the cure for this suffering, separation suffering. Tavakatam, talking about you, hearing about you. That brings relief to our, it brings relief to their hearts, it brings relief to our hearts. And they say, and puts an end to suffering. we're suffering in the material world on account of identification with our karmic circumstance and biological expression of the soul's delusion, the body. And they're saying, no, this awakens you to the prospect of your spiritual identity, then that suffering goes away. Shravanam Mangalam, and it's the beginning of all auspiciousness. Every one of us knows. The day that you heard about Krishna was the beginning of auspiciousness in your life. That's just the fact. We should celebrate that. We should mark that on the calendar. Like, here's the day that I first heard about Krishna. Shravanam, and what? Shravanam Mangalam, Srimad Ratanam. And by hearing about him, then the heart becomes filled with gold, with treasure. Shravanam Mangalam, Srimad Ratanam, Bhuvi Grinantite Bhuri Dajana. And this is the real beneficial thing you can do for anyone in this world. And I'll just conclude with this. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Muraleeswar and I were in this place, Petrozavodsk. Does that sound like a town? Yes. Yeah. And there's a big lake there. We're staying in this flat, and it's like the guy's sister is not, it's like the mother and the son, but the sister's not. And I think I'm like staying in her room or something. You know, maybe she had to surrender her room while I was there. But she kind of like dutifully, you know, goes to the program every, you know. But then one night she goes like, if you really want to help someone, she goes, you know, you could go out and like distribute food or clothing or things like this to people. Every night you sit here talking about Krishna for hours. Like you're doing something. And that's equivalent to doing something. So if you really want to do something, you know, like make a pot of beans or something and go out, you know, and soup some grishka or something and go like give it out to people, you know, like really help the people. Not with all this Krishna stuff. And I thought, yeah, it's because you don't think there's any value in this that you can say that. But actually, those who know what is what, know this is the valuable thing that you can give to someone that is to be got. Satsanga sevadir, you know, sudurlabha bhagavata hiloke. Satsanga sevadi. Sevadir means treasure. Saying the treasure that you can get in human life, you get from the rare connection with a devotee of Krishna. What do? They tell you about Krishna. You hear something about Krishna, and forever your heart is touched. And nothing can compete with that, ever. And no matter what happens after that, you'll, at some point in your sojourn and material existence, you'll remember the sweetness of Krishna when your heart was touched by hearing about Krishna and seek more Krishna, a connection with Krishna. Pravishta karna randrena svaram bhavam suroruham dunoti shamalam Krishna shalayasya yatasharat. Like we're told, Krishna conception enters through the ear. It was like a channel from the ear, and Guru said, sound goes to the heart, so you have to be careful what sound you listen to. Enters the ear, goes to the heart. Hear from the devotee of Krishna, through the ear, touch the heart. And what does Radharani say? Yadanu charita lila karna piyusha biprut sakrid advana dvita dvanda dharma vinashta. Then your material existence is finished. Right. Today or tomorrow. So, forever, our aspiration is to be the assistants of those servitors, of the servitors of the devotees of Vrindavan who feel separation from Krishna. How beautifully put, that distinguishing factor. You say those who love Krishna, but he said, to make it even more clear, those who feel separation from Krishna. Hare Krishna. Jai Śrīla Bhakti Siddhānta Sarasvati Thakura.